So we're going to turn to God's Word, and our scripture reading today is from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. I'll be reading beginning at verse 19. Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 19. And let us hear God's Word. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. A young college student named Adele has been having doubts about her faith lately because of things said by her college professors. Months of health and family and financial issues have begun to take their toll on Sam, and he's beginning to wonder whether God has forgotten him, has abandoned him, maybe even punishing him for some sin in his life. Jackie has had a series of failures in school, both academically and in relationships, and she's starting to doubt her worth as an individual. Bonnie, a mother of three preschoolers, well, she's just tired. Tired physically, tired emotionally, and she's lost a sense of joy in life. And with all the changes and changes of ideas and attitudes in our society about sexuality, Leon has been wondering whether it's just better to forget what the Bible says about these things and go along with the crowd. Well, maybe you can identify with one or more of these people. What do they all have in common? Well, probably a number of things, but one thing definitely, they all need encouragement. Every one of us needs encouragement at some point in our lives. We all get tired, we all forget, we all lose interest and lose our focus. We all have fears and doubts, we all get tempted. Well, thankfully, we have a God who is aware of this, and who cares about us, and who has made provision for it. In fact, God himself encourages us. And he does that through means that he has appointed. Now, as the elders of our church were considering different ideas for a vision statement, we decided that encouragement was so important of an idea that we wanted to include that in our statement. Now remember, the vision statement goes like this, and there's a test afterwards. As a church, we are gathering a community to live for Christ. We're gathering a community to live for Christ. And then after that, a brief statement, we had four key words: encourage, grow, equip, and go. Today we're talking about the first of those four words, to encourage. We want to be in our life together as a community living for Christ. We want to be an encouraging community. On that vision statement summary that was handed out some weeks ago, we said this about encouragement, and these words are printed in your bulletin in the sermon notes page for today's bulletin. And that summary statement went like this: acknowledging the challenges of living for Christ in this present world, we commit ourselves to encourage one another with God's word and prayer and with acts and words of kindness. It's not always easy to live for Christ. Becoming a follower of Jesus Christ doesn't mean that all of a sudden life becomes smooth sailing. There are ups and there are downs. That doesn't change when we become Christians. There are bumps that slow us down, distractions that get us off the track. We can get discouraged. We can grow tired. We can lose our focus. And we can come to points in our lives where we just feel like we're ready to give up. And so because we all face obstacles to walking faithfully with Jesus, we should be conscious of this and ourselves seek encouragement, but also offer that encouragement to each other. And the tools that we find that help to bring about this encouragement, once again, are God's word, prayer, and deeds and words of kindness that we display toward others. So let's turn now to Hebrews 10. And as we do, I want to call our attention first to being a people who are encouraged, but then also to be encouraging. First, be encouraged. I want to encourage all of you today. I believe that you know these truths, but one of the things that I've learned through life is that I myself need to be reminded of them because I forget them. So I want to encourage you with some truths that at least most of you already know. If you believe in Jesus Christ, there is so much to be encouraged about. Just look in verse 19. The writer says, because of the blood of Jesus, we now have confidence to enter the holy places. Now, what are the holy places? What is he talking about? Well, has in view here the two inner rooms of the temple of God. The temple is God's house, the place of his special presence. And it was the place during the Old Testament time when only the priests of Israel could enter into those holy places. And into the innermost of those places, the most holy place, there was only one priest, the high priest, who was permitted to enter. And he was only allowed to go in once a year on the Day of Atonement. Now, all that was to symbolize something. It was to symbolize the holiness of God and how a holy God is separated from a sinful people. Well, the writer of Hebrews is telling us here that all this has now changed. It's all changed with the sacrificial death of Jesus. As our high priest, Jesus himself goes into the most holy place and offers himself as a sacrifice for us, for our sins. And through his death on the cross, atonement for sins has now been made. Not one more time on an annual basis, but once for all. And all of the animal sacrifices in the world, what they could not do, Jesus has done by sacrificing himself for us. And so verse 20 says that through his flesh, the curtain that blocked the way into the most holy place has now been opened so that all who are covered by his sacrifice can at any time enter into the presence of God and know that he will not reject them. He won't reject them because of past sin, but instead lovingly receive them. So using the imagery found in the Old Testament of the priesthood and the ceremony of purification, verses 21 through 23 describe Jesus as our priest who sprinkles our hearts and washes our bodies. In other words, he cleans us from the inside out so that we are fully clean and presentable to God, presentable to a holy God. Now, we don't yet experience everything that that means. We are not yet in heaven in the presence of God. But because of what Jesus has done, we still have the right to expect that we will experience it fully. And this is why the writer in verse 23 speaks of promise. We are still waiting to fully receive what was promised. But there's every reason to count on that because, as it says here, he who promised is what? He's faithful. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that to be very encouraging. I'm encouraged to know that whatever turns my life may take, I have a Savior who has restored me so that I am in good favor with the God of the universe. I'm encouraged to know that this God thinks enough of me that he has invited me and even encouraged me to join him in his house. This God who before was opposed to me and angry with me because of my sin is now for me. He's on my side. He loves me. He's working out all things for my good. In fact, it's for this very reason that he sent his son to die on a cross. And this is the most fundamental source of encouragement that we have as creatures. We may be confused about certain things. We may wonder why things are the way they are in the world, why God chose to do things the way he has. It may at times even seem like our lives or the world around us is spinning out of control, and that if there is a God, he's either not very powerful or not very good. We may be struggling with those things. But in the midst of all that, the writer of Hebrews calls us back to what we know, to what we can count on. In verse 23, he calls us back to what he calls the confession of hope. I was very happy with what Benj said this morning about our confession of faith. This is the core of what we believe. This is the foundation. If these things are true, we have much hope. And the writer calls us to hold on to it, he says, without wavering, because the God who loved us so much that he even sent his only son to die for us, he is faithful to do what he has promised. In other words, he's faithful to finish what he's begun. He's not going to abandon us midstream. So be encouraged today. And if you'd like to have this encouragement, but you have not yet acknowledged Jesus as the Son of God, or you don't know what that means, please come and speak with me. Nothing would make me happier than to see you have the encouragement that comes through Jesus Christ. Well, I don't just want to encourage your faith this morning. I also want to encourage all of us to be encouraging, to be encouragers, to make this a community of people living for Christ, to be an encouraging community. And here we come to the last two verses of this passage. I'm going to read them again here. This begins at verse 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, I have a confession to make. I'm not a natural-born encourager. Maybe that's not news to you, but I'm not. My wife, Kathy, is the encourager in the family. She is the natural encourager. It just flows out of her. I, on the other hand, am an intentional encourager. And what I mean by that is if any encouragement is going to come from me, then I have to be very deliberate and make a conscious effort to make it happen. But whether you have the gift for encouraging others or not, all of us are called on to make the effort to encourage each other. Sometimes that comes in as being just a matter of physical presence, being there with somebody in a hard time. Sometimes it comes by lending a helping hand for something that's needed. Sometimes it's through prayer. I'm always encouraged when people tell me that they're praying for me, or when they ask if they can pray with me. Often encouragement happens by words. Sometimes it's face-to-face. It can also be through a note of encouragement. Maybe it's reminding somebody of an encouraging portion of the scriptures. I'll never forget the day when Vern Poitras called me to give me a word of encouragement. And this goes back now over 30 years. Before the Poitrases were members here at LPC. But I still remember it because it came at a very important point in my life. God used the right person at the right time with the right words to encourage me. At that time, I had plans for a career in education, either in a university or a seminary. And I had begun doctoral studies at a religion department in a local university. For reasons that I don't need to go into, I became disillusioned and even cynical about intellectual pursuits. And I became depressed because I had looked at all that I had invested so far and felt it was for nothing, and my plans for the future had just been shattered. Well, thankfully, a brother in the Lord saw what I was going through, and believing I needed some encouragement, he asked Vern to give me a call. Now, just receiving Vern's phone call reminded me that I had a Savior in heaven who had me in his loving hands and who was watching out for me and concerned for me, and that there was no reason for me to be discouraged. Vern reminded me that there is worthwhile and godly scholarship going on, which I was having some doubts about at the moment, and that there was room for others to still contribute to this, and he suggested different options to me. Well, the outcome was that I continued my studies, only now at a different school and with a different focus. And while those studies never did result in my plan for a professorship someplace, they did help to prepare me for God's plan for a pastoral ministry. But my point here is that this is the sort of thing that should be happening among us regularly at Lansdale Presbyterian. We should be meeting together, as it says here in verse 25, and getting to know about each other's lives so that we can watch out for one another. And as the writer of Hebrews puts it, consider how to stir one another up to good works and love. We should be helping one another, hold steadfast to the confession of hope, that confession of hope about Jesus that we know, but we can so easily forget. We all need encouragement. Sometimes more, sometimes less. We all need it. As a community living for Christ, we have a responsibility before Jesus. We have a responsibility for one another, to encourage one another, to speak His word to one another, to pray with and for one another, to show kindness to one another by what we say and do, so that none of us loses sight of the confession of hope that we share, the hope that we have a high priest in heaven who loves us so much that He gave His life for us, and who is coming again so that we can share in His glory. So as a community living for Christ, be encouraged, be an encouraging people, all the more as you anticipate the coming of the sure hope of Jesus Christ, that day that is drawing near. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ, who is our high priest. We thank You for these encouraging words from the Scriptures. Remind us of them always, Lord. Remind us and help us to keep these things before one another as we struggle in this world with so many obstacles and often great difficulties. Bless us, Lord, so that we may be that holy people that You have created us to be in Christ Jesus. For Your glory, we ask it. Amen.